Thank you, Tony. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that prayer so much. Bless my heart. That's my prayer. I want to guide your attention this morning to a text of Scripture that's been a great help to me in recent days. It's found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. I trust the Lord will bless this time of study of His Word to your hearts, to my heart. As our brother said when he prayed, we need to hear God's Word. I count it a great privilege to stand before you this morning. I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak to you this morning. And it's always a great privilege to be enabled to meet with God's people where the Word of God is opened and it's read and it's studied and it's preached and Christ is set forth. Christ, our hope of eternal life. And I count it a great privilege just to be here. And I know you do too. I know there's a lot of great, probably great events taking place throughout the world today, but there's no better place to be on the top side of this earth than where we are right now. And as believers, we know that. And we thank God that He's given us a desire to be here and to be where His Word is preached and Christ is set forth. But my text is found in verses 5 and 6 of Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Before we get too far into the message, I want us to look at this first few words. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That all is three letters, but it's a mighty big word. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Well, you mean to say that there's nothing else? There is nothing else. Tell me how there is anything else if our heart is fully engaged in trusting the Lord. This is the very Word of God. And the Word of God tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. How can our heart be engaged in anything else if we're fully trusting in Him? You see, the believer's life never departs from that principle. The believer's life consists of trusting, believing, hoping, resting, looking. The work is done. There's no work to be done. He who did the work is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He's done all the doing. And we come to Him, we look to Him, we trust Him to provide our every need for time and eternity. And if we can remember this Word of God as we live our lives, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, that in every situation we'd be brought back to this one thing, looking to Christ, our Redeemer. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And further, lean not to thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge Him. These commands, this Word of God, draws me from myself to Him. Trust in Him. Acknowledge Him. And don't lean to your own understanding. Everything we need is found in Him. We must look to Him. And the promise is, He shall direct thy paths. That's been a help to me in recent days especially. But this Word of God, this Word from God, instructs me, encourages me, and strengthens me in my faith in Him. As I said a minute ago, it draws my eyes from myself to Him, to trust in Him, to lean not to my own understanding. Scripture says there is none that understandeth. Lean not to your own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge Him. In Christ alone can I find rest. There's no rest in this world. I cannot find any rest in myself. When I look to myself, I find no rest. I find no peace, no comfort, no assurance. It's only when I look to Him can I find any of those things. When I'm looking at Him and trusting Him. And I love the simplicity in these verses and the plainness that it presents to my heart and my mind. And I want to consider these two verses for a few minutes. I believe it will encourage us as believers to continue to trust Him, to trust Him more. And I will pray that there's some here that's not yet believed that will be encouraged and led to and enabled to trust Christ, enabled by the Spirit of God to see Christ in His beauty and lay hold on Him. Let me say this first, that the gospel we preach, it points men to Christ, and it's a simple gospel. It's simple in this respect, that it's not many things, it's one thing. Rather, it's one person. It's one object of faith, one person, one Savior, one Lord. And true faith lays hold of Christ alone and turns loose of everything else. To lay hold on something, you've got to turn loose of everything else. And we do that. There's no room for anything else. And thus we read the Word of God, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Do you trust Him at all? Trust Him more. Do you desire to trust Him? You may. You must. You must trust Him. You may do so without hesitation. There's no conditions. There's no qualifications that have to be met. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't hold anything back. We must pause here and say this. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the object of our faith, Him whom we trust, who is He? He's he whom we must trust because He's the anointed one of God. The anointed one of God, God's beloved Son, in whom He's well pleased. He's God in human flesh. And He gave His life a ransom for many. He paid the debt due our sin. He bore the wrath of God that was due our sin. He's the substitute for sinners, the substitute, the only substitute for sinners. And we're all sinners, and we need a Savior. And I love to say this, there is a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. I need a Redeemer. There is a Redeemer, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, God in human flesh. And God says, trust in Him whom I've set forth, Him who was sent to die for sins of His people. Trust in Him with all your heart. Can we take this too far? Can we trust Him too much? Not when He says all your heart. We can't take it too far. We read in Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in Him at all times. Trust in Him at all times. Trust Him with all your heart. Trust Him at all times. Trust Him in life. Trust Him in death. Trust Him in health. Trust Him in sickness. When things are going well, when things are going tough, look to Him. Trust Him. Let's read a few verses over there in Psalm 62. Beginning in verse 5, I'd like to read that to you and with you. think this goes along with what we're trying to say here this morning. Beginning in verse 5, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." Oh my. And we read over in 1 Peter 2, you don't have to turn there, but it says in verse 6, "Wherefore it also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect of God, chosen of God, He in whom my soul delights, mine elect, the Lord Jesus Christ. I've laid that chief cornerstone, and He's elect, mine elect, and He's precious. And he that believeth on Him," listen to this, "shall not be ashamed." He that believeth on Him shall never be ashamed. Can a man ever be found wanting who trusts in Christ? Emphatically, no. Will not be disappointed, will not be confounded or confused or disappointed. He that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. And it goes on and says this, "Unto you therefore which believe," He is precious to the believer. He's precious to the believer in the believer's eyes. Those of us that believe Him, can you stop believing Him? Would you stop believing Him? We can't. We can't not believe. We can't not believe. Those that know thy name, know the Lord's name, it says in the Psalms, trust in thee. Those that know Him, trust Him. To know Him is to trust Him. We can't not trust Him. God's revealed His Son to our hearts. He's trustworthy. He's worthy of our trust. And oh my, the preacher of God, the preacher of Christ, the preacher of the gospel delights to point men and women to this man, this Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, to Him who they themselves trust, and fully content in commending the eternal souls of men and women into their hands, into His hands, I'm sorry. And then lean not to our own understanding. That's contrary to trusting in Christ, to lean unto our own understanding. To lean on in our own understanding is to follow our own judgment, follow our own will. But we say, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done." And the Scriptures plainly declare, we can read in Romans 11, "There is none that understandeth." And I want you to read a scripture over in Jeremiah with me, chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. Verse 22. It says here, "For my people it's foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish or silly children. And they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge." Oh my, why would we lean on our own understanding when we have no understanding? You know, Scripture also says, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man." Lean into his own understanding. The end thereof is the ways of death. You know, man has many thoughts, many opinions about many things, and has settled things in his own mind, and many times has strong convictions about what he or she believes. But I want you to look at a scripture in Psalm 146. And we all have convictions and thoughts about things. Beginning in verse 3. This goes along with what we're trying to say here. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. Now that's a humbling thing. We think a lot of what we believe about things, but the Word of God endures forever. Our thoughts perish when we perish, and they're gone according to the Scripture. And did you know that no matter how much you know, how much you believe, that your soul sits in darkness until God, in His time and by His sovereign will, turns the light on and is pleased to reveal, come and reveal Christ to our hearts and our minds. Look in Luke chapter 1 and verse 76. This is speaking of John the Baptist at the first here. He says, "And thou, child," speaking of John, "shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby," here's the Lord Jesus Christ, "the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Until that happens, we sit in darkness. We may think we know some things, but we don't know anything. We have no understanding. So let us flee and abandon every high thought of ourselves and lay ourselves prostrate at Christ's feet and acknowledging that if we're ever to be saved, that He must act for us. He must come to us and save us according to the good pleasure of His will and by His grace alone. And that all that we have to plead is our sin and our helplessness and asking Him for mercy. We become mercy beggars. And that's a good place to be. In all thy ways acknowledge him. This means that every believer says in his heart, "Not unto me, O Lord, not unto me, or not unto us, but unto thy name give glory." It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. And we are what we are by the grace of God. Acknowledge him in all your ways. We are his by his sovereign choice and by his saving grace. It is he that has done it. It is he that has saved us. And we have no standing before him outside of our standing in Christ, where he himself put us by his mighty power and grace. So all glory and honor belongs to him. We acknowledge him in these things. And all that we have, he's given us. What do we have that we haven't received? It's freely given. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. As we live our lives, we are wise to acknowledge him. And only, I heard Scott Richardson say this a lot. He said, a man would have to be an insane person not to believe God. And natural man is insane. That's the truth of the matter. He's insane. He will not look to God, his creator. And we read this in James 4. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not. We think we know. The scripture says you know not that what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. We may even die. But if the Lord lets us live, we'll do this or that. That's what we ought to say. You know not. We think we know, but we know not. In Proverbs 27, we read, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Acknowledge him who does know. He does. He knows. He has purposed the end from the beginning. Our Lord, whom we must acknowledge, does know. And our life's in his mighty hands. And the life that we now live is the life he provides for us. And he has the right to do with us as he sees fit. We must acknowledge him as sovereign Lord and bow at his feet. We must acknowledge him as he is, as he's revealed in Scripture, and that his eternal purpose is being brought to pass by his eternal decrees and in every detail. And it cannot be changed. It's fixed. His purpose is fixed. And I must acknowledge his purpose and all that it brings to me and all that it withholds from me. I must acknowledge God's will and purpose in all these things. I must acknowledge my time is fixed from all eternity. The life I live is the life he gives me. He gave me life. He will take my life. He will take me from this earth in his time, according to his purpose. Acknowledge him in all thy ways. And then in our coming to God, when we first believed, and as we continue to believe, the scripture says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. We must acknowledge him with whom we have to do and look to him alone for salvation from sin and ruin. Acknowledging, if thou wilt, you can make me clean. That's the cry of a mercy beggar who acknowledges God's right to do with him as he sees fit. And if he's to be saved, God must save him by his sovereign will. And then lastly, the blessed promise, and he shall direct thy paths. Oh, isn't that music to your ears? We don't know the way. He knows the way. He is the way. This is the earnest, sincere desire of the heart of every believer. It's why we wholeheartedly trust him. Aren't you thankful for this promise? Because we realize it's been taught us as God's people, we cannot direct or command anything. God controls everything. We control nothing. Jeremiah 10, verse 23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Therefore we pray, as we read in Psalm 31, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Isn't that the prayer of every believer? Oh Lord, lead me, guide me. Don't leave me to myself. Don't leave me to my own will, my own way, my own thoughts. guide me. Pastor Donnie Bell says this, that I love to hear this. The first time he said it, I just latched onto that. See if this doesn't thrill your heart. He said the shepherd is responsible for the sheep. We're not responsible for ourselves. Our shepherd's responsible for us. What a good place to be. The shepherd's responsible for the sheep. He who knows the way, he who is the way, shall keep us in the way, in himself. So in light of what we've considered, as I close, what can you find any reason to hesitate to trust in the Lord with all your heart? And I heard another dear pastor, Pastor Scott Richardson, say this many times. It's never presumption to believe God. You know, man may say you're presuming too much. Salvation is all wrapped up in looking to Christ, trusting Christ. But it's never presumption to believe God. It's presumption to do otherwise. It's presumption not to believe God. Cast thy burden. He can bear your burden. He can bear the heaviest burden that you have, your sin. He has borne that burden. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Trust in him with all your heart. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Amen. Thank you.